You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Jordan, the intern, went with the grilled chicken Caesar. Is that what you went with?
Huh? Yeah.
Is that what you did? Okay. Robert Meacham, what are you going with for lunch today? Haven't decided just yet?
Not yet.
I think I'm going with the wrap.
I think I lost a couple pounds since I started a week ago.
You did. You did. This road travel.
Sarah, why are you laughing at me?
Well, why is she laughing over there?
Sarah's laughing very hard.
Yeah, I can hear it with my headsets on.
I mean, almost giving Santa Claus a run for his money the way she's chuckling over there. We'll talk with her about some of the specials, of course, here at Vinny's. We're here each and every Thursday, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie. It's 18th and Ridgelake, the corner. When you come on in, yes, you can have fun in the evenings, dart league, shuffleboard nights, trivia night on Wednesdays, which you can enjoy $10 wild turkey bourbon flights. You can enjoy happy hour every day, 3 to 7. That's food and drink specials. That's every day, including weekend, 3 to 7. Got DJs on Saturday. Well, not DJs, one DJ. Jordan the intern, his name.
Is it Big Nasty or is it just Nasty?
No, it's DJ Nasty.
DJ Nasty.
Not Big Nasty.
Keep wanting to say Big Nasty.
It's not his name.
DJ Nasty.
It's not his name. But it's from 11 to 3 on Saturdays. And ladies, when you walk in, first drinks on the house. Just like that. What? You do not get a drink when you walk in.
I can't even drink.
And you're not a lady. That kind of would be one of the things that would hit you.
I'll drink a water.
Ben, going to come to you next. Lee, thanks for holding on through the top of the hour break. Go ahead and finish your point that you're making. You don't think that the Eagles ran up the score, so you kind of made that point pretty solid. What do you think happens this Sunday? And we'll get to Ben.
Okay. Well, first of all, if it is that the Saints are going to run that nine route with Kamara again, they got nothing coming. Because they already know that they're prepared for that nine route to Kamara. They're not going to see that in this game plan. They're going to have a whole new set of points to deal with. Sean Payton is very creative when it comes to stuff like that. Now, what I think we're going to see in this game, it's going to be a much tighter game, but I still think the Saints score 30-plus. I'm thinking the final score will be about 38-20 or 38-17. I just don't see us losing this game because at the end of the day, we have too much talent to lose this game. Coming off a week's rest, we had an advantage. We got to take advantage of all our advantages. And I just think that the Saints are not going to win the game. It's not going to happen. And I don't know about how Robert feels about this, but when you're in a game, you can't worry about what the other team's not doing. Their job is to stop you. And if they can't do it, then that's on them. That's on them. Unless the coach get out on the field with a white flag and wave the white flag and say, we forced it, the coach, you got to call his plays, man. Call your plays. They can't stop it.
It is Lee.
But if they give up and wave the flag, then, we stop it. Okay, give me the victory. We'll lead the field.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for holding on through the top of the hour. Ben, thanks for giving us a call here in the Sports Hangover. What you got for us, me and Robert?
The difference between Foles and Wentz is, night and day. Wentz is, it's like watching an artist with a brush. He's got precision, he goes through his reads, and he can make a little something happen, with his feet. Foles is a completely different animal. He's a grinder. I mean, he's going to settle for those check downs. He's going to, when things fall apart, he just kind of makes it up as he goes. So he's a little tougher to prepare for than Wentz. With Wentz, you cover the field, and then, you get pressure on him, and, he's going to make mistakes. With Foles, he just kind of makes it up as he goes, I mean, he just grinds it out, So he's just kind of a different quarterback altogether. And it just makes it a little tougher to prepare for him because he can improvise better. But, he does not have that big play potential that Wentz has. I mean, do you guys kind of feel the same way?
I feel like that as well. The guy earlier on the phone talked about Wentz and Foles, the difference between them. Yes, I think Wentz doesn't go through his progression like Foles. I think when you're Foles, he has no go-to guy, really, in crucial situations or clutch situations, whichever way you may look at it. I feel Foles throws to who's ever is open, and that's what makes him so dangerous.
Yeah, he makes it up as he goes.
Yes.
So, now, yeah, that's, I mean, it kind of makes the Saints like a little, you know, they got to spread the, he knows they're going to, that Foles is going to spread the ball out more because, you know, he doesn't have a favorite. And then, you know, he can just kind of, you know, when he goes with his audibles, Wentz probably has like six or seven audibles that he, you know, is comfortable with and that he knows works. Where Foles, and he can throw, he probably has, you know, two dozen different audibles at you. So it just makes the Saints a little tougher to prepare for him. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, I mean, he can make a lot of different areas troubling for the Saints defense. And I still think, like Robert and I were kind of talking there in the top of the hour break there, Ben, is at the end of the day, though, I mean, Robert, you're the number one seed for a reason, right? At the end of the day. And Ben, we've seen this team win in a number of ways. Close games where they look like they're out of it, defense making a play, defense needing a turnover, special teams making a play, offense blowing teams out, offense in a shootout. We've seen them do it in every single way. So, I mean, if this game is a tough, you know, knockout, drag up, they've played in a game like that. If this is an offensive shootout, they've played in a game like that. I mean, they just have the weapons to be able to do all this stuff, I feel, you know?
The way I feel it's going to turn out is Philadelphia's going to throw everything at us, and they're going to keep it close for the first half. And then it's going to kind of be one of those, you know, test of will game. But I think in the second half, the talent, the rest, you know, in the you know, when the Saints get, you know, when they knock off the rust, I think the second half the Saints are just going to impose their will on the Eagles, and you know the Eagles just aren't going to have enough in the tank left over to respond to them. So you know that's just how I feel it's going to be. But I also feel like if it does come down to it, where the Eagles are matching us with intensity, we might need that spark. Like that blocked punt from Taysom Hill, or like, you know, a turnover, you know, to turn things around for us that just kind of ignites everything. That's the same teams I like watching, because it just shows how one play can just completely swing the momentum. And the Saints have done that a couple times this year, which I haven't seen in years past, but, you know, kind of like 09, you know, we just created opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. We're just very, you know, competitive with it and very opportunistic with the, you know, the turnovers. And, you know, we won the Super Bowl from it. So that's how I see this team kind of progressing. So,
thank you, Ben, for the phone call. Appreciate it. 800-998-1003. Robert, a gentleman that was having lunch here a little bit ago, and he left at the top of the hour, brought up the fact that the Eagles have been playing on a lot of road games here as well. Does that make a difference whatsoever?
No. I think they've been on their playoff run since they lost to the Cowboys. So I don't feel like it's nothing changed for them.
And by the way, that's the only loss they've had since the Saints loss.
So, correct. So, yes, I really feel like it doesn't change anything for them. They expecting to be on the road. It was just like the Giants back in when they won. They knew that they had to be on the road. The wild card team had to be on the road for all the games and end up making it to the Super Bowl.
DeMario Davis yesterday in the locker room had this to say, the difference really between David Foles and also just overall on the Eagles offense. Here's DeMario.
He's a really good quarterback, smart, knows where to go with the ball. He knows how to get all his weapons involved. He knows that, you know, it seems like he does well with the coaches that ask him to do. Just a very good quarterback, and he plays with a chip on his shoulder.
Nick Foles, of course. You know what I was talking about. Jordan shot me the look. You know what I mean. Here's his take, Robert, overall on the Eagles offense. And I'm listening to DeMario kind of say this. I'm like, wow, that is a lot of different things you have to stop here.
They got some really explosive tight ends. You gotta be locked in on your assignment. You got to use really good technique when playing against guys like that. They got some explosive running backs coming out the backfield, really good receivers. You know, it's a tough matchup, and they got a quarterback that can get them the ball.
That is going to be the interesting test for this.
Tight end versus the linebackers?
You have two great tight ends. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that separates a lot of the game plan, you know, because now when you're so tight, when you have a tight bunch like that, you play zones. Sometimes you have crossing routes in between it to get guys confused.
Okay.
When you have man-to-man, you still run crossing routes to get guys confused. The way these tight ends catch the ball, the way they block, it's kind of hard to get a gauge on them when it's a run play or when it's a pass play. And the receivers on the outside, they always come off the ball. So it's never a decoy, like, he's not really running the route. He's just running me off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that with a lot of teams. You know, a lot of teams, you know, the receivers, if it was a run play, might take a play or two off. The Eagles receiver doesn't do that. The Saints receiver doesn't do that. So it's going to be really interesting on how they guard the tight ends this game.
Dave, thanks for giving us a call here in the Sports Hangover. What you got, man?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why the Saints are going to win, buddy. Here we go. How many yards did Philly have last week, Rush? 45?
Yep, okay.
Something like that? Okay. How many do you think they're going to get against us? 50? 60? Maybe? All right. That said, if you agree with that, then Foles is going to have to resort to pass. Cameron Jordan, Sheldon Rankin, all our other guys are going to come in on him. He's sacking 3 or 4 times, and he's going to start throwing the ball away or throwing picks. That's
42.
Number one.
Okay, they had 42 yards rushing. He was only sacked once, though, last week against a pretty good Bears defense.
Okay.
And he threw 40 times.
We'll see. You know, our crowd noise is going to be louder than what the Bears can do if that makes a difference.
Okay.
But as it is said, don't worry. This is not going to be close. They're returning to the scene of the crime where they were slaughtered. They might make it closer, but it won't be close enough to be a difference. Now, I'm going to throw in a trick play that maybe you've already heard about that I'm convinced Sean Payton will use it now unless he doesn't need it. He saves it for next week. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right. What has Drew Brees done every time Taysom Hill was in at a quarterback in a shotgun snap?
Right.
He flanked out his receiver.
Yep, go ahead.
Brees has stood there like a statue. All right. Sean Payton has been setting this up the whole season. Taysom Hill, if we need it, he's going to take the ball, throw a backwards pass to Brees, who's going to hit again on a cross pattern, 30, 35 yards for a touchdown. Book it.
All right. Look, I tell you what, Jordan the intern also feeling that a Drew Brees pass. You think, Robert, in the postseason we'll see Brees actually catch a pass?
Yep. And I saw a play that Philly tried to set up last week, too, with Alshon Jeffries and Golden Tate.
Uh-huh.
The hook and ladder.
But, guys, what's more effective? If Drew Brees is throwing the pass or catching?
I think throwing.
Well, of course. And here's the other thing I missed.
Right.
If they couldn't cover Traquan Smith, who we can put on the field still with Mike, a star, who's going to cover Ted Ginn? Okay. Everybody stop worrying. It ain't going to be close. Thanks, guys. Love listening to y'all.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the phone call so much. 800-998-1003.
Another trick play that we saw earlier in the season was 3 quarterbacks in at the same time. So Taysom Hill, Drew Brees, and
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater. So yeah. I'd like to see that play one more time.
How much do you think Sean's kind of kept in the little bag just for the postseason?
A lot. Oh, it's a lot left in that bag of tricks. Trust me.
And could it just be just a wrinkle too off of a formation that could totally bring you up?
That's all he's looking for. It's matchups.
Mm-hmm.
It's playing basketball. It's playing Pelican basketball. That's all it is. It's who has the mismatch. Okay, you're doubling Michael Thomas. Okay, you're doubling Kamara. Oh, no, you don't double Kamara. You put Malcolm on him. Oh, well, Drew, here you go.
That's where number nine comes in handy, right? Number nine's already seen all of this. He knows where he can go to it. And it goes to what you said for Thursdays upon Thursdays. Run your route. Nine will find you.
That's all you have to do.
Kind of makes it easier for you, doesn't it?
Well,
do your thing.
It's routine. And, you know, it's what your role is.
Okay.
You know, with the Chicago Bulls back in the day, what was Scottie Pippen's role? Get Jordan the ball, or I cover the best offender, and then, okay, in the fourth quarter, let Jordan guard him. You know, everybody played a role. Dennis Rodman aggravated people.
Yep.
I think the biggest role is going to be for Big Rankins and Big Davenport this game.
Interesting.
Everybody keep forgetting about Davenport.
We're going to step aside quickly and talk a little Pels basketball. They won yesterday. Jake Madison for a brief 5 minutes, and we'll get right back into it again. He's our last guest. We have Robert Meacham here. We don't need any other guests. Any questions, any comments, you can go back and forth. He's made the Super Bowl run and won it. What's the difference this week than other weeks? More comments, more sound for the Saints locker room as well, including the Eagles. Getting closer to kickoff on Sunday. It's Thursday. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Ain't no place to be on Mardi Gras Day.
Mardi Gras Day.
It's Mardi Gras time, and Joe's Septic Contractors would like to let everyone know that there is still time to call in your orders for portable toilets and hand wash stations. You can order 2, 3, 6, 10, and 18 stall restroom trailers from everyone at Joe's Septic Contractors. Have a happy and safe Mardi Gras. Call 985-632-5592 or visit joesseptic.com.
There ain't no place to be on Mardi Gras Day.
Mardi Gras Day!
No way.
Keep your tax refund in your pocket and get a new home. Zero down programs are available at Homas Clayton Homes. Any income is income. SSI, disability, child support, we take it all. Visit Homas Clayton Homes on Highway 311 or check them out on Facebook. And remember, when you call 985-872-2850, if that old trailer house has got to go. That's Homas Clayton Homes on Highway 311 in Homa.
Drop-In Fix is Bayou Country's premier technology one-stop shop. From iPhones and Galaxies to iPads and tablets, Drop-In Fix has quick turnaround service for all your devices. Stop by our Homa or Thibodeau locations or find us on Facebook. From laptops and desktops to TVs and printers, Drop-In Fix can get your devices back up and running in no time. Drop-In Fix, the Tri-Parish's premier technology one-stop shop.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
It was a battle as the Pelicans had to come back and fight hard against the 8-win Cleveland Cavaliers, but do so spectacularly. 141-24 is the final. For the third win in a row, Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, joins us at NOLA Jake's. The way to follow him over on Twitter, Anthony Davis. After the game, Jake had this to say on the win.
I think I caught everything. Most importantly, we got the win. You know, this team is on be scrappy. Of course, they're desperate for wins. And you know, they came out and gave us a run in the first half. And I think the last 5 minutes of the second quarter, we just locked in defensively. I mean, they were shooting like 90%. Actually, at one point, shooting 100% from three, I think they made their first non-three. So they came out shooting the ball well, and we just stuck with the game plan and knew they probably weren't going to get stay hot from three the entire game. Ended up shooting 47%, which is still pretty amazing. But we just tried to get out a run, knowing they played last night. Just try to, you know, wear them down a little bit and get some easy buckets.
Jake, is that what I should take out of it? The fact at the end of the day it's a win, or do I kind of have to watch this cautiously that two of the last three wins have come against an 8-win team with the Cavs that have given the Pels a run for their money?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. Look, at the end of the day, getting a 3-game winning streak is a 3-game winning streak and something the Pelicans desperately needed to claw themselves back into contention in the Western Conference. So that's a good thing. You know, it does you no good if you're not beating bad teams and teams you're supposed to beat. At least they're doing that. So that's saying something. But part of it is they've played against the Cavaliers twice and the Memphis Grizzlies once. The Grizzlies are kind of sliding right now. The Cavs, you know, it's their record. They're the worst team in the league pretty much right now. So getting victories over them shouldn't necessarily be a huge cause for celebration, but you should feel at least comfortable that they were able to get these victories. So I think that's good. Over this three-game winning streak, though, you're seeing them do it with defense, which leads to easy offense for them. And I think that might be the bigger thing. Like Anthony Davis said, they struggled in the first quarter with the Cavaliers shooting exceptionally well from three. And then they clamped down, they went on their run, they took away that three ball, no more open shooters. That's led to the win here, and over these past three games, they actually have the eighth best defense in the league, and that's big for this team.
Wow, that is interesting you say that, because defense is one of the things. Anthony Davis, after the game in that walk-off interview, also saying the key in this 11-day, five-game road trip's going to be their defense. We saw Nikola Mirotic come in yesterday, shot an air ball, also knocked down some threes. Even he said that first quarter and that first half he was winded. It's going to take some time to get in there. But having him in there, one of the things that I loved about him when he got on the team last year, he's a rebounder. He can maybe help on the defensive end, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. He's great at rebounding. He can actually guard out on the perimeter. He's not a liability there. It lets the Pelicans switch a little bit more than what they've been able to do the past couple of weeks without him. So he can defend that multiple position type of player, and I think that adds to it. They're going to get back into this through defense, much like they did last season. They kind of went from being a bottom five defense in the league to a top 10 defense in the league, and they're going to have to do that again. Whether or not they can do it is the question. You've seen them come out really slow in games, even though the Cavaliers hit their first 8 three-pointers in this game. Most of those were wide open because the Pelicans weren't covering them out there, and they had breakdowns on the perimeter. As you hit this five-game road trip, these are against good teams or better teams, and you're not going to be able to kind of get away with that and only start to clamp down in the second quarter or the second half. So they need to figure that out. They need to have kind of a sense of urgency that we started to see from them, but they haven't been able to do for four quarters, and that's going to be the biggest thing for them on this road trip.
Speaking with Jake Madison, Nola Jake is the way to find him over on Twitter. Locked On Pels, the way to listen to the podcast and also online. You know, one of the things that I see in this game is AD doing his thing here again. And as of late, you saw the Pels PR department tweet out this morning. He's had a nice little run here, and he's starting to play like the AD we've all known and love here. Jake, what's been the biggest difference here when you take a look at the numbers that he's been able to put up here as of late? I mean, they're pretty impressive, aren't they? I mean, you're looking at, what, over the last 13 games, 32.7 points, 53% shooting, 14 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 8 30-point games, 3 40-point games. Even Robert's just like, you're loving what you're seeing.
I just feel like he just said, you know what, forget all the talk about me leaving and everything else. Let me just go have fun and play. And whatever happens at the end happens.
That's interesting that he went that route, because, Jake, we saw him like a picture of him yucking it up on the Pels bench. And there was a comment saying he's not going to L.A. He likes it here, and he actually liked that comment in that picture.
Yeah, look, I don't. You and I did this over the summer where we kind of probably read a little bit too much into DeMarcus Cousins and his Instagram post and unfollowing Pelicans and what have you. I don't think that's kind of giving anything away. But look, Anthony Davis does like it in New Orleans. There's no question about that. And I've come on this show with you and said, if he has a chance to win titles here versus win titles in another city, he's going to pick New Orleans. It's as simple as that. If he doesn't have a chance to win titles here and has a chance to win titles in other cities, so he's going to take the other cities. It's all about winning. It's all about his legacy, something that has become apparently very obvious to everyone around the league over the past couple of weeks. So I think, you know, we don't need to read too much into the social media stuff with that. But certainly he's playing now like the most dominant player in the league, like he talked about in the beginning of the year. He had a couple of quiet games, whether it was he was injured or the Pelicans had other injuries and it just didn't quite work for him. He's playing as a leader, and he's playing as the best player on this team and in the league right now. And I think that's been really important because the Pelicans feed off of that energy. If he's quiet, if he's not taking shots, he's not being that vocal, aggressive guy on defense either. The team kind of follows his mentality. With him coming out like he has recently and playing the way he has, I think that's kind of led to a bit of a resurgence for this team. Makes you wonder where that kind of guy is on every single game. But if you're getting that on 90% of the games from him, I think he can lead to a lot of good things for the Pelicans. You're seeing it, though, with Elfrid Payton back. They can get in transition a little bit more. The defense has been a little bit better, meaning he doesn't have to spend as much energy on that side of the ball, and he can focus it on the offensive side. So all things just kind of starting to round into form for the Pelicans as they try and go on a run.
All right, so you're talking about a run here. Even Coach Gentry said this, I want to say, going into the game yesterday as well. They have to win it, and he said it after the game yesterday. They have to start winning games and if they want to get back into the playoff race. And I mentioned it to you a little bit when we started our conversation. 5 games, 11 days. You look at that stretch, some pretty good teams they have to play here. You got the Warriors, the Clippers are in there. Even going into February, start seeing Spurs and Thunder are playing well as well here. I'm interested to see how they do on this road trip here. Memphis, Minnesota in there. Teams that just recently beat, but it's always tough to beat them back-to-back in such a short time frame as well.
Yeah, this is really going to be a good barometer of where the Pelicans are. Are they that team that started 4-0, had been playing incredibly well, or are they a team we've seen over the past couple of months? They're back to being healthy. You've got Elfrid Payton in the lineup. You've got Nikola Mirotic, at least in there for limited minutes. 20-plus, I think, is what they're going to keep him at for the next handful of games. So what's the real Pelicans? And we're going to find out who they are. Yes, they're on a 3-game winning streak, but as we just talked about, it's come against not very good teams. And I don't know if it's, you know, something you want to say where they've turned the corner and have become, you know, a top team in the league or a surefire playoff contender. I think you'll see it on this road trip. You're going into some hostile environments, playing some good playoff teams on the road. If you can at least keep it close and you're competitive in all of those games, not getting blown out, I think that's a good sign. But this is really going to be the big test of the team. And here's the thing, though. On this 5-game road trip, if you have a number of wins, you're well over 500, you can afford to drop these games, and it's okay, and they're kind of expected. But at 20-22 on the outside, you've got to get on this road trip because you put yourself behind the eight ball. So this is a pretty stretch for the Pelican club.
All right, so as we go off here, I do want to bring this point up as the voting for the All-Star Game, the all-important All-Star Game voting. You know how that is, and trying to get Pels players in there. Jake, Anthony Davis, 5th in the West. You got LeBron, Luka Doncic, from Dallas, who's having a tremendous year this year. Paul George, Kevin Durant, 4. Davis is 5. When you look over at the guards, no Jrue Holiday in there. Lonzo Ball, Derrick Rose is in there above him. DeMar DeRozan, Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Curry, Devin Booker, Chris Paul are the 10 that they have listed there right there. You think Jrue Holiday is being disrespected?
No.
No?
There's only one I think that he should be above. That would be Ball.
Lonzo Ball?
Yes.
Jake, what say you?
I would say in this market field, he's not getting shown as much as other players. Okay. That's how Lonzo Ball, I think, they're always on TV with the Lakers, you know, that's a pretty highlight team. I think that's why he's gotten more votes than Jrue Holiday.
I got it. I mean, this is the fan voting, Jake, so should we read too much into this?
No, so this is only part of the process to getting guys into the All-Star game, whether they be starters or reserves. We've also got the players, media, and coaches vote as well. They can have coaches pick players to be in there as reserves also. So I think there's a good chance he can get in. I think it's, you were saying, with the market size, the team being under 500, you know, a 20-22 club probably doesn't deserve to have two guys in the All-Star game, to be honest. And unfortunately, it likely means Jrue Holiday is going to be left out. I don't think it's a disrespect kind of thing, just an overlooked kind of thing. And being under 500 is going to do that.
Yeah, very good point. I know Jake's the way to follow him over on Twitter. And as always, Locked On Pels, the podcast, lockonpels.com, the way to go check him out online. Thank you as always, Jake. Appreciate it, buddy.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Gus.
Yep, sounds good. I'm with you. I think market, obviously, and a lot of people being able to check the games out or not have a lot to do with it. Where do you think this team is? I know you love basketball. You've played a lot, you know, having a little fun. You and the Saints squad back in the day used to run some games.
I feel that.
Are they a playoff team?
Of course.
Okay.
I feel like they're a playoff team, but I feel like you got to beat more than Cleveland and Memphis to show that.
So you want to see them beat some other teams here in May? The win streak, I guess, be over.
Yes,
some,
I want you to beat.
Teams.
I want you to beat at least two teams that really has a big bark at the end.
Okay.
You beat a Boston, you beat Oklahoma City, you know, one of those type teams that are really flying on all cylinders right now.
Right.
I really feel like beat a team like that, then you got some, it helps your confidence down the road.
All right. Well, you definitely got some teams on that schedule. Clippers coming up, Golden State coming up, so we'll see how they fare in that road
trip. Always play Golden State well.
They do always play them well. Now we got to get some wins off them. When we come back, we'll switch back on over to football. Let's hear some more from Drew Brees, Tron Armstead, and DeMario Davis here. And, of course, more from Robert Meacham, 800-998-1003. Any questions for him or just comments, if you want to get his take on it, feel free to give us a buzz, 800-998-1003, plus some questions of the day that Jordan the intern has thrown out there. We'll touch on all that and more as we are live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie, 18th and Ridgelake. So if you want to come in and have a little lunch with us, just stop on by and say hi to Robert. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Always on the run and short on cash. With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Stephen A. Smith here. It's a new year, so make it your resolution to protect your family with life insurance. Life insurance is peace of mind. It can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. Think you can afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $19 a month. That's less than a dollar a day, people. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-601-6992. That's 1-800-601-6992. That's 1-800-601-6992. Or go to selectquote.com/Smith, S-M-I-T-H. That's selectquote.com/Smith.
Get full details in the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's makes it easy to save big on building materials to finish any job. Need to stock up on water heaters? Save 5% on select A.O. Smith water heaters when you buy three or more of the same model. Plus, save 5% on eligible purchases every day when you use your Lowe's business credit account. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. While supplies last, credit offer subject to credit approval. Can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply, U.S. only.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
Pelicans basketball. Do it big.
Lob for the rim. One hand alley-oop. Smash. Down by Anthony Davis.
No, he didn't.
Picks it up. Shoots for three. Good, good, good. Drew Holiday.
Hi, this is Sean Kelly. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans take on the Minnesota Timberwolves Saturday at 7 on ESPN Radio New Orleans.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Eric Alexander has joined us at EA underscore LSU Tiger. Eric, look at that. All it took was all the way to what? We're in January. And I remember your Twitter handle.
Yeah,
still working on Robert's Twitter handle.
My bad.
To make that going at one point. What is it? Two bowls and a natty is what I like to call the segment when you join us with Robert Meacham here. Of course, both the all-winning Super Bowls you did with the New England Patriots. And then, of course, winning the national championship with LSU. So we can kind of touch a little bit about that because I haven't yet to ask you, Robert, about the national championship game. Did you see that coming? I don't want to hear anybody tell me they saw Clemson beating Alabama the way they did that. Eric, you're part of LSU Game Day Live over on CST. When you saw that game start to unfold, look, here it is, right? Opening kickoff goes. Clemson goes three and out. Here comes the beating, right? Tua, they get a completion. They're close to the 50. Pick six.
Yeah, I like everybody else. I was surprised at the outcome. I was surprised at the way the game ended. But, you know, really when you look at the meat of the game, I don't think that these two teams are that – I don't think Clemson's that much better than Alabama. I just really don't. I think, I think it was some questionable play calling, especially in the red area for Bama on the offense side of the ball. I think defensively Clemson and Coach Venables' defense played really well. And I think on third down, you know, Clemson being able to keep drives alive and Bama not being able to get off the field, though, the combination of all that led to this perfect storm of Bama losing the game like they lost the game. I think if Bama can, like they characteristically do, get off the field, especially in those third and long situations where you're not used to Bama giving up those types of plays. And they couldn't get off the field on third down for whatever. Well, it's not for whatever reason. Trevor Lawrence played well. They also had a bunch of receivers on Clemson's played real well.
Robert, I have to imagine when you watched the national championship game, the play of the Clemson receivers, you had to stand up and applaud. They made some throws. And to his point, the third down conversions, lots of, you know, crossing routes. They were just smart play calls.
Yeah.
But it's been there all season long for Clemson. Clemson had great receivers. And this game right here just magnified it. Mm-hmm. The one way you do beat Alabama is having great receivers. If you can beat one-on-one coverage or you can beat the zone and your quarterback has time to get the ball off, you'll beat Alabama.
One of the things I saw a lot of people kind of discussing it and talking about it after that game and during the season on our show on Arkansas Game Day, we had Clint on earlier in the week. He said it. Every time we do the SEC standings, look at it, he's like, look, you know, Alabama's good. They're not as physical. It's a different Alabama team. They didn't want to call them finesse, but he's like, they're more about over the top. They don't really run the football, take your will out of that way. And they used to just pound you to submission with their line play. And we saw that come to fruition, I guess, on Monday. Clemson was the dominating guys on O-line and D-line up front. Were you surprised about that?
Well, honestly, I really didn't see it like that because Bama ran the ball really well. They ran the ball really well.
When they ran it,
yeah. Okay. They ran the ball really well, and Tua still did what he usually does every game. He completed a bunch of deep balls, but the simple fact is once they got in the red area and you know, on the goal line, they could not convert whatever Clemson a switch flipped in the Clemson's players' heads and said, hey, we're not letting them get into the end zone. That was a separation of the game where Bama, when they got close to scoring, they, you know, left the field with 0 points. And that's demoralizing, especially when it keeps happening and it happens again and it happens again. And then on the other side, they keep on scoring. You know, it's, like I said, perfect storm.
Robert, I asked Clint this. He was a quarterback at Arkansas, quarterback at Dallas, and he has his own little quarterback school that he works with young kids, you know, before high school and through high school and into that next level. And Nick Saban, after the game, talked about how, hey, freshmen, much less freshman quarterbacks, you're going to continue to see the success they have. Lawrence, freshman quarterback, winning it. Last year was Tua, freshman quarterback. He was up against Fromm, freshman quarterback. Are you surprised to see young QBs have the success at that level with that type of game and pressure?
No, because it's different from when me and E came out of high school. they have a lot of camps. They have a lot of places where guys can go to perfect their craft. You might not have a personal trainer, but you can go to this camp or that camp. When we were coming up, we didn't have all these camps to go to, or we couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. And with these young guys coming in, they're already college ready. You know, their body is already developed.
Yeah.
You know, when I came out, I was 180, but I was just all legs. You know, the weight room didn't mean nothing to me as it does to the young guys now. I wish I would have lift weights and did the extra training then, and it probably would have helped me not have as many knee surgeries I had. But coming in as a freshman, winning these games, it's the parents saying, okay, this is really what you want to do? Okay, well, let's go for it.
And to add to your point, Meech, the offenses that are run in high school are translating more to the college game as well. They're way more complicated than any offense I ran or faced in, you know, at the high school level. Mm. Now they're running these spread attacks on the high school level. So I think that's really preparing these quarterbacks to see these same looks as they have in high school. It's making them college ready even when they're in high school. And some of these kids have, you know, if they start 4 years, they've already seen a lot of this stuff from 4 years on, and so it just translates so much better to the college game.
It's interesting you say that. Cliff Kingsbury, right, just got named head coach over at Arizona, and there's been a lot of, I wouldn't say criticism, but just people going, that guy failed his way into being a head coach in the NFL. Didn't win at Texas Tech. He was at USC for like a week or so as the offensive coordinator, got in there. He had this to say yesterday.
As you've watched the trends of the NFL and college football has infiltrated that, there's a lot of similar concepts to what we've done on the college level that are being widely used and really successful in the league right now. And so I'm anxious to get in with a bunch of experienced offensive coaches and kind of mesh things together and come up with the best product we can come up with. But I do think there's a lot of things that we did at Texas Tech that can be successful.
You're talking about the similarities from high school to college, but where we're almost seeing, and I said this at the beginning of the year with John Forkey when we did our shows on Thursday, I'm like, dude, you look at the NFL game, and I'm trying to close my eyes and actually think of teams that run 80, 90% of plays under center. Most teams, most of the younger QBs, and look, you looked at the hirings from these teams this week, they all went with young, offensive-minded coaches, and you're going to see it. Everyone's in the gun. I mean, you look at Philly and Wentz, they're in the gun. You look at Goff, they're always in the gun. Breeze, a lot of times, is in the gun. He's still under center sometimes, but I would say the Saints are very rare that they're mostly not always in the gun. Mostly Mahomes, he dude's always in the gun. I mean, you're seeing that.
Well, you're
now
going to their strengths now. See, also, too, to add on what the E said, I thought about it, too, because I have two little cousins that play in, say, 7th, 8th grade. They're doing it on 7-on-7 now. You know, in the off season, you know, you normally play football, then you go to basketball, then you play AAU or something like that. Well, some of these kids now are just doing one sport.
Right.
So they might play football in all through the season, and then they're still going to play 7-on-7.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're getting all these extra reps at it, and it's like, okay, when a coach is telling them something at a football camp, they catch it just like that because they've been going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have, like, say me and E through a football camp, well, we could talk to the older guys. It used to be where you could talk to the high schoolers. Now you could actually talk to 6th and 7th graders in football terminology, and they understand it.
Yeah.
Because in 5th grade, some teams are actually running spread offenses in the 5th grade.
Wow.
Can a quarterback get the ball to him?
Mm-hmm.
That's a different question. But they're starting so young now. Where
yeah.
Run left, run right, or sweep left, sweep right.
That is true. If you go to a playground, you can kind of just see it's a handful of plays, and now it's completely different. But yet at the same time, you've heard quarterbacks say it's not overly complicated in terms of for the quarterback. It's that RPO sort of thing to where you're just reading and reacting and then just using athleticism. Eric Alexander, Robert Meacham, we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake. Come on by, have some lunch. Got more to talk about here. We'll put a wraps on the college football season, E, and what does it matter? Because I asked this question watching the game in my head. If you're an LSU fan, does that game make you feel better or worse on that? And then you won a Super Bowl with the Patriots. He won a Super Bowl with the Saints, Robert Meacham, all third hour. we'll start looking at the playoff matchups, not only Saints and Eagles, but the other matchups here as well as divisional round weekend is upon us. It's the Sports Hangover. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Stay uptight, it's supernatural delight.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
How you doing there? Beautiful car, isn't she?
Yeah, what's the price?
Yeah, 93 late nights at the office. Well, plus tax, of course.
93 late nights? Oh, my budget's more like 78.
Oh, let me talk to the boss, see what I could do.
While other insurance companies just see a car, we see something you've worked really hard for. So why not give it the protection it deserves?
Well, now, he's never done this before, but he says I could do 90 late nights and some free air fresheners.
Deal.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
It's time for some straight talk. I'm ready for it. You want the best coverage, right?
Of course. Don't want the QB throwing any deep bombs.
I'm talking about coverage on your smartphone, Wingo.
Oh, I get you now. I want the best nationwide coverage then.
Well, you'll get it with Straight Talk. The same great 4G LTE networks as the big guys for up to 30% less.
Man, you got to grab that deal and run with it.
Take it to the house.
With nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, get the Straight Talk $45 unlimited plan with 15 gigs of high-speed data. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
When the veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are they really?
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hi, welcome back. Sports Hangover. Eric Alexander at EA underscore LSU Tiger and Robert Meacham joining us here at Vinny. So, you know, when you take a look at the end of this college season, it's done and over. I asked the question going into break. If you're an LSU fan, or in your case, you're a Tennessee Volunteer, did that game, do you sit there and go, yay, Bama lost, good for them? Or do you sit there like I sort of did when, wow, there was such a separation between Bama and even most of the SEC, and Clemson beat them soundly. So I don't know if that made me feel good if I'm an SEC fan, or if that made me feel worse.
That made me feel good.
Okay.
They make you feel good because now it's a formula.
Yeah, but you have to have a heck of a recipe. You have to have a very good quarterback. You have to have an NFL defensive line. You have to have some pretty good corners. You have to have NFL receivers. I mean, I'm not saying you can't get that in the SEC, but Clemson's got some players now.
That's every week, though. You got to have that every week to win the game anyway.
Okay.
But to beat Alabama, I think now it's a formula. Now somebody has the blueprint on how to beat them. Now, you might not have the recruiting class now to beat them.
Gotcha.
After seeing this, but who's to say that you can't get a few later recruits before the end of the recruitment time is up?
Eric?
Yeah, for me, I just I think it is good for LSU and the rest of the teams in the SEC, but from the standpoint of Bama is not invincible. I felt like a lot of the times, you know, people, you know, before the games, even LSU, they were hype. You know, they said they were ready, but did they really think they had a chance? Like, deep down inside, did they really think they had a chance to compete with those guys on the field? So from a standpoint of having confidence to know that, you know, they did get beat, and that they got beat the way they did, we have a chance to go out there. And if everything works itself out right, we have a chance to win the game.
You know, it's interesting you put it that way about that invincibility, because you could see it, couldn't you, on the faces of the Alabama play. They hadn't been in that situation before, and how you fight back. We were talking about in hour number one specifically about the Saints. They've been in dogfights. That game against Carolina, you didn't see panic. You didn't see they've been in that situation. And when you win a game like that, then you're good. A couple weeks later, right, the next week, you see Pittsburgh a week later. You're in a fight there. There was no panic. You came up and you made the plays. I think that is something to be said. I mean, Tua at the end of the game was like, it wasn't anything they did is what we did. I'm like, buddy, you got out. I mean, he didn't get it. He didn't see it.
No,
you know?
He saw it. He was right with what he's saying. They didn't play like Alabama supposed to play. Like you said, like he said, in the red zone. We never seen them have turnovers in the red zone like that. The play calling wasn't to a strength, you know, to my point of view, my personal opinion. And also, too, they did get their butt handed to him. Mm-hmm. They did get it. Like, now that part he doesn't get. Like, you really got whooped.
Yeah.
But I understand what he's saying. We should have did more.
Got you.
We could have did more in this game.
If you play to your capability.
Yes.
Honey. Right.
It wouldn't have been like, the score wouldn't have been like it was. It might have been a little bit closer.
Yeah. Eric, have you been in games like that where professionally or collegiately where it, you know, whatever you guys did Monday through Friday or Saturday, it's just, it's not working.
And oh, yeah.
You're being out game planned and you have to, like, on the fly.
And I can give you one. Okay. It was right here. It was right here in the Superdome. I think that was a Monday night game. Nothing we did worked.
Saints Patriots.
Derry. Wide
look
open.
At, look at him down smiling. The middle of the field. Look at Robert smiling over here.
I mean, I've never
on
got
that play that you. It was so funny because CJ had just said it. He said, you want to score a touchdown? And I'm like, what? He said, you want to score a touchdown? Like, yeah, who don't want to score a touchdown? He said, well, Devery already beat you out there. And I'm like, all right. He said, next play, go get Devery. And I was like, you know what? Dev haven't got a ball thrown his way in maybe 3 or 4 weeks. I'm going to let Dev get a touchdown. Well, I did not know it was going to be that easy. They busted the coverage. Nobody covered Devery. And I'm like, how you going to cover the fastest man on the field? And that day, it was our day. We played against the Giants. Everything they game plan running, nothing worked. And we was kind of nervous coming in because we got Mike McKenzie off the street. Mm-hmm. And he had to go in and grab Randy Moss. It's like, I don't know how this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so CJ kept saying, listen, we got to score 60. If we don't score 60, we lose this game. That was his speech all week long. If y'all don't score, if we drop passes, we fumble, if y'all don't get in the end zone, we lose this game. It's on y'all. It's y'all fault if we lose.
That's on that side of the ball. And for your side, you were starting to say, well, game plan didn't go.
Well,
according to play.
When they pulled Tom Brady at the beginning of the fourth quarter, you know it's probably not. It's either one or two things. Y'all are blowing him out or you're getting
blown
out.
I remember the dome. So. I mean, because as a Saints fan, I mean, that's the pinnacle, right? I mean, and when you saw that, I think, not that y'all didn't, Robert, but I know in the media standpoint and fans, when they beat the Patriots, it was like, oh, we could actually win the whole thing here.
When we beat them, it was like that confidence booster of, I don't think nobody can beat us now. And I think everybody had that same mentality. I don't think we can lose a game. Even if our defense is outplaying us, I don't think we're going to lose.
Right. But to your point, like you're saying, when you get in the game, game plan is not working. What do you do? it's a lonely feeling, isn't it?
It really is. It really is, man. We just had no answer to anything that they were doing. I mean, all three phases of the game.
Randy, I see you on the phone. We got about a minute left before we hit the break here. Do you want to hold on to the top of the hour? We'll start the hour with you, or can you get it in about 60 seconds?
I'll hold, bro.
Okay, man, no problem. We'll come right to you right when we come back on the other end of this break because we're less than a minute out. But to that point, I mean, you can sort of see that, right? And you have to make those adjustments. Now, there's certain games you can make adjustments and certain games that you couldn't. When I watched that Bama game, it looked like Saban didn't have the answer. You didn't have the answer. And one of those you just chalk up to that, right?
Well, I mean, it's only certain things you can do, I mean, depending on the score. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the time, in the game. I mean, once they keep scoring, you can only throw the ball, you can only try to move the ball downfield. All you can do is try to score. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as the time keeps going, you have less time in the game and the score keeps getting away from you. It's only so many plays you can call when you're down by 30 points, if you get my drift. When you're down by 30 with a quarter left, there's only so many plays you can call to try to get yourself in the game.
And as you touched on it, Robert, on the other side of things, when you get out there and all of a sudden you're seeing the coverage and you're like, man, you're prepared and you know what's coming and you know a play's going to be successful before the ball snaps, then it's fun. But on the other end, what happens when you're on the opposite? Because there was a Patriots-Saints game in Foxborough where they bracketed Jimmy Graham, wouldn't let him catch anything. All of a sudden, it just seemed like the Saints had no idea how to move the football there in Foxborough.
Yeah, I think a game plan when we was in Foxborough to get Jimmy a lot of touches. And like he said, when that didn't work and then the running game wasn't working, it was like, it was a long day. It was a long, cold feeling. And it didn't even, it made, what was, else was so funny, I had a drop. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my ex, she sent me a picture of my little girl looking at the TV screen with an attitude. And I'm like, what's wrong with her? She said she want to tell you. So the next day, I take her to school. And I'm like, Riley, what's wrong with you? She said, Daddy, you dropped that ball and we lost the game. She was 5 years old,
yeah,
at the time.
So in her mind, you lost the game for the New Orleans Saints. Good job, Dad. Good job. That's a shame.
Man, pressure.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
At 5 years old. She's nine now, but it was like, wow.
Is that what I can look forward to,
man,
for my two-year-old? That's Robert Meacham, Eric Alexander. We're live at Vinny's. When we come back, Randy from the West Bank will have his say. Give us a call, 800-998-1003. All third hour, it's the NFL playoffs, and we'll be talking about that next on ESPN New Orleans.